All right, we're up to Perek Lamed. We are in the middle of a series of psukim dealing with the words of Ogur ben Yokeh, Hamasa nu'um hagever li'isiel v'uchol. Okay, these words the theme of last week. We're in the middle of Pasuk. We're going to review Pasuk Dalet, starting from Pasuk Dalet. The main theme of these psukim was Shlomo HaMelech. We'll learn now for the moment that Ogur ben Yoker Shlomo HaMelech, and he is reminiscing that he made a fatal mistake by marrying more wives than the Torah allowed, and taking for himself more gold and silver, and acquiring more horses than what Moshe Rabbeinu allowed. And he complains, he reminisces and he complains that he made a fatal mistake, that it's even for him, someone who has been granted all the wisdom of the world, is not above the laws of the Torah. And he was not allowed to do what he did. And here he, in Pasuk Gimel, through Pasuk Dalet, it's a very long Pasuk, very rare. I think it's probably the longest Pasuk in the whole Sefer Mishlei. Most Pasuk are very, very short. So this Pasuk, in Pasuk Dalet, he basically says, is there anyone greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? This is the way Rashi and the Mitzudos interpreted the Pasuk. In a very simple interpretation, how could he be so foolish to think that he's wiser than Moshe Rabbeinu? If we study the history of the world, was there ever a person that was greater and wiser and smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu? Certainly not. And the way he describes Moshe Rabbeinu is in reference to all of his accomplishments. Number one is, Mi Ola Shemayim Vayerad. Was there a person who went to heaven and came down, who went to Shemayim to receive the Torah and brought down the Torah? Mi Osaf Ruch B'Chofnov. Was there a person who was able to disperse the Makkah of Shechin, when he picked up the Piach HaKivshan and he threw it into the air, and by doing so the wind picked up the Piach HaKivshan and it spread it upon all the people of Mitzrayim, and they were stricken with Shechin. This was interesting that from all the Makkahs, the 10 Makkahs, it's specifically this Makkah that Chazal focus on, the Piach HaKivshan, which he utilized the Koyach of the wind to disperse this Makkah. Mitzarar Mayim B'Simla Kriyas Yamsuf. He was able to separate, to gather waters as if one taking the water and put it into a garment. Mihakim kol avsi aretz, Moshe was able to erect the Mishkan. He was the one that gets credit for building the Mishkan and bringing the Shekhinah down to the earth. Mashemo, is there anyone other than Moshe? Find me a match. Find me a person that is similar to Moshe. Tell me his name. And if you don't know his name, maybe at least you know the family. You know his children, his descendants. I want to meet these people. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. There is no such equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no one in this world. And therefore, how can I, Shlomo HaMelech, been so foolish to think that I know more than Moshe? Moshe says, Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim, Lo Yarbe Lo Susim, Kesev Zahav, Al Yarbe. How could I have been so foolish? So this was the basic gist, the basic theme, how we learned in Pshat Pasuk last week, both according to Rashi and according to the Mitzudos. However, there are some beautiful, fascinating midrashim which take this pasuk a little different twist. Okay, the first medrash, all these midrashim are found in the same place. They're all found in Bamidbar Rabbah. How they got there, I'm not exactly sure, but one medrash is in the Tanchuma. Maybe what Moshe, I'm not exactly sure why there in Bimidbar Rabbah, Perek Yud Beis. Okay, but let me just run through a couple of other interesting ideas. Number one is the Pasuk is darshan in reference to Eliyahu Hanavi. Is there a person as great as Eliyahu Hanavi which accomplished all of the things listed and enumerated in this Pasuk? Number one, Mi'ola Shamayim Vayerat. Was there a person who went to Shemayim? Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi, which says Vayal Eliyahu Basara Hashamayim. What?
The Vayerad also came.
Oh, so what's Vayerad? Vayerad. Who is Eliyahu? When do we find Eliyahu come down? Raid Oso Al Tira Mipanov is referring to Achav. When Hashem told him, I want you to go to Achav and speak to him and tell him that he should cut out the nonsense with the Avodah Zarah. So Eliyahu says, I'm not going, he'll kill me. If I appear before Achav, it's a suicide mission he's sending me on. So Hashem said to him, "Don't worry, he's not going to do anything to you. I give you my word." Vayerat Zeli Yodim Ereshesh Amalei Hamach. Now Hashem said, "The Malach, said, raid Oso Al Tira Miponav. To send to Achav, deliver a message to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to be a famine. There's not going to be any food. There's going to be a drought. Don't go and tell him. Don't be afraid of him. Don't worry. He's not going to kill you." So therefore, you see, he was able to do the impossible. Number one, he was Olah Hashemayim. He died in a whirlwind. Elisha witnessed his neshama go up to Shemayim alive. Vayerat, he was able. He didn't die. He went to Shemayim alive. Vayerat, he was able to accomplish this feat of descent to Achav. Mi Asaf Ruach Bichavna. This is beautiful. What does the mean? Asaf Ruach Bichavna means Techiyah Samesim. Ruach here refers to the Ruach Chayim. Eliyahu was Mechayim Esim. Eliyahu, and I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Wait, I'm sorry. Eliyahu Sheyisar, but he's the Gemara here. The Gemara Medrash does not interpret in reference to that. I'm sorry. Eliyahu refers to Eliyahu Sheyisar, as he showed me by Achav, Al Sheva the Zara, Chai Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Asher Amanati, Lefanavim Yed, Ashanim Ha'ilach, Talu Matar. And why is that called? So it means over here, he Asaf Ruach Bechofnaf, he told them that if you don't do tshuva, there's not going to be rain. And rain comes through the wind. If there is no wind, there is no rain. You need the wind to bring the clouds, to bring the rain. And therefore it's Osaf Ruach Bechofnav. It's as if Eliyahu himself, he took his fist and he collectively withheld the winds from blowing in order to prevent the rains from coming down, in order to force Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Okay, we meet Sarar Mayim. That's also, the Mayim is as part of the same theme. Mitzar Mayim Bissim, according to this medrash, is he prevented the rain, he prevented the winds from blowing. Mashiv Ho Ruach Umay Reid HaGoshem. Don't get confused, you don't say that now. But Mashiv Ho Ruach Umay Reid HaGoshem. By Mincha, someone's going to say Mashiv, and come blame me, right? I confused them. Mashiv, so you blow the wind and you prevent the rain from coming down, basimla, in the garment. And then when it says, Mihekim, who established the Afse Oretz, that refers to Techiyah Sameisim. The ends of the earth, the Medrash says, Shehecheya Meis. Your son is alive. He was Mechaye Meisim. So Mashmo, find me an equivalent to Eliyahu, find me equivalent to Mashmo. If you can't find me in Eliyahu, find me at least in the descendant of Eliyahu. Okay, so this is one very interesting medrash that instead of Moshe Rabbeinu, we make reference here to Eliyahu Hanavi. It doesn't fit into the context, because what then, at least, I don't know, maybe there is some interpretation, but what then was the message? Over here, according to the simple interpretation, Shlomo HaMelech is speaking, we interpret the word Agur Ben Yoke as a reference to Shlomo. He collected wisdom, but he spit it out, because he was foolish not to follow what it says in the Torah. And who wrote the Torah? Taras Moshe. Moshe wrote the Torah. But according to this interpretation, we're now referring to Moshe, we're referring to Eliyahu. So what then is the beginning of the pasuk? If we're in the pasuk, I don't know. Not necessarily. That's the midrash.
It was much later.
Of course, much later. So I don't know. Sometimes midrash, they just like to take a certain part of the pasuk and refer. You want to understand the greatness of a person, we can use this pasuk as a description of his greatness, even though the context, the Pshut Shel Mikra, doesn't make any bit of sense. The first midrash makes a lot of sense. We take the pasuk, we make a beautiful midrash by Moshe Rabbeinu, all of his accomplishments, and it fits very nicely into the Pshut Shel Mikra. But that does not really seem to work very well for Eliyahu, unless you have some type of very deep interpretation to fit into Eliyahu. Unless you would say Eliyahu was the Goel Achanayim.
This is the
number, anyway, that's all right, but we're taking it out of context, just to bring it forward. Okay, the second very beautiful medrash is in reference to the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Okay, it's hard for me to memorize all the parts. Let me just read you little sections. This medrash is awesome, Bamidbar Rabba. It's a beautiful medrash, Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. Bamidbar Yud Beis, section Yud Aleph. Yud Beis Yud Aleph. So let me read you bits and pieces. Mi Allah Shemayim Vayerad. Mi Hu Zeshet Filosoi Oyle La Shemayim Vihimayrida Es Hagishamim. Beitam. Beautiful first opening a line of the Medrash. Who is the one? Show me a person whose tefillah, we have to add the critical word prayer, whose prayer ascended heaven all the way to Shemayim and accomplished something very great by bringing results. Right? Results. It's all about results. And the results are, Vayerat, something came down from heaven in response to the tefillah that ascended to Sheheven. Now, who is this person? Show me a person whose tefillahs really count. So the Midrash goes on to say something fascinating. The answer is, I'm just jumping around over here, the answer is, Mi Osaf. The next words of the pasuk are, Mi Osaf Ruach. The answer is, this is the answer. Mi oisev rua ruchois legadel asavim zesh mechalek maasroisav. The answer is mi osav. I'm sorry, let me take a step back. It's another question. Mi osav ruach. Another question. Who is the one that succeeded in causing the winds to blow? The winds to blow to cause the produce to grow. In other words, the winds here refer to the winds and the rain. Who is the person, to review, whose tefillah ascended to the highest heaven and was successful in causing Hashem to send down to this world bracha, and the bracha came in the form of the blowing of the winds, and with the blowing of the winds comes rain, and bracha comes to the world, and the produce grows, and there's parnasa, and there's plenty, and everyone is happy. The answer to all these questions is bichnofav. The answer is bichnofav. What does it mean, bichnofav? It means a person who distributes tzedakah with his fist. When the poor man comes to the home and he says, can I please have a donation? You open up your fist. Take. Here, let me give you. What do you need? Meloy chafnav, a fullness. You're generous. That is the person whose tefillos count. It's one thing to sit and finish the whole day and be mispalel. Good, it's very nice. But if you have some backing behind you, nice and toivim, behind you, that gives potency to your tefillah. I think we take that, we don't necessarily focus on that. We think that tefillah, you know, that hakavana, you'll be successful. It's not necessarily true. You could have the best kavanas. You also have to have some backbone, some backing. And the backing comes in the form of ma'isim tovim. You write out a big check, your tefillah has much more impact. It's bichnafav. The cheinu oimer, the Midrash goes on to say, in a good way, in the context, Haviu es kol ha-maiso beis ha-oise v'yitedef b'beisi uv'chnu no-b'zois ha-mashem tzavokos im lo eftach lochem arubos ha-shamayim v'arubukosi lochem barocha ad b'lidoi ad shilu v'sim l'madai. That comes from a person who is generous. He gives tzedakah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. Okay, next, the passage continues. Mi tzarar mayim b'simla. Who is the one that causes the waters that there should not be rain, that there should not be rain, and mi hekim kol afse aretz, the person that causes that there should not be rain, mi hekim, let me just Ula mi tsarar mayim basimla, mi kosher es hagashamim bananim, shelo yoridu hagashamim, harehu mi she'enoi mechalek masreisa b'chofnav. Okay, so according to the interpretation, it's a little bit of a liberal interpretation, we're repeating the word chofnav. Umi tsarar mayim basimla, umi hekim kol afse aretz, it's that middle word as well, it's bichnafav. It's assumed the one that closes his fists. The one that refuses to give tzedakah to the poor. So the word chafnaf is being used both forwards and backwards. Mm-hmm. It's being used in the beginning of the pasuk, mi ola shemaim v'yeirad, mi osaf ruach, who's the one whose tefillah goes to shemaim and brings down results? It's bichnafaf, the person who opens his fist to give tzedakah. And likewise, bichnafaf, the bichofnav, the one who closes his fists, does not give tzedakah, is the one, me, he is the one that's guilty of tzorar mayim basimla, me, and he is the one, hekim kol afsi aretz, he's the one that has prevented bracha from coming down to the world. There is such a minute, you open it when you say, you open up your hand. And also when you say in a shmona eshray, umelefonecha malkeinu, reikom al teshivenu, you open up your hand a little bit. Don't make a big scene.
someone who is not generous is called tight-fisted.
Yeah, okay. So this is what the Medrash is saying. We're taking the word b'chanafav, we're applying it forwards and backwards. It's all totally in the koyach of generosity. A generous person brings bracha. A stingy person prevents bracha from coming to the world. And then the Medrash concludes, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it. It's always the best thing. Always the best type of Medrash. The whole question is, prove it. It's a nice chazal, it's an arizal. Like I told you this before Pesach, and I told this to someone, he loved this idea. This person I mentioned is the arizal, that if Klal Yisrael would have remained in Mitzrayim just one more moment, we all would have sunk in, Klal Yisrael would have sunk into the 50th level of Tumah, and we would not have been able to ascend. We've heard this as children. I'm sure everyone heard this 100 times. So I saw in Haggadah, prove it! Just because the Arizal says it, don't take it for granted. Prove it. Prove it. What? What do you mean Hakei Hashina? What's that? Prove it. So what's the proof? So this is a Jewish, it's not necessarily a book of proof. It's Dasan Vaviram. Because Dasan Vaviram did not, they stayed. They didn't go. Vayomar Paro Livnei Yisrael. Rashi says Al Bnei Yisrael, but according to the Medrash, Livnei refers to Dasan Vavim. They didn't want to leave. They're loyal. They're loyal to Paro. They didn't leave. And what happened to them? The good things did not come from them. They joined. They were the troublemakers. The Mon. They're the ones who put out the Mon. They're the ones who joined Korach. They were the Misloinim. They always found making trouble. So that means to say is that according to the definition, what got into them? Because they stayed, they sunk a little bit more, and therefore they could never break out the Zeh Kelev Yanvei. What they saw Kriyas Yamsuf was not enough, even though they had another Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem was still the Yam for them separately. It was not enough. Okay, but going back over here, yeah.
The terminology of fist is a closed fist,
yeah,
and an open hand.
A close fist.
In other words, a fist, whatever you say, is a tendency to mean the fist is closed.
Okay.
The
Medrash.
There is no such thing.
Okay, it's an expression, it's a metaphor of generosity. A child, the Medrash says, a child is born with his fist close. Right, that's the test they do in a child. It's a very important test. I think one of the first things they do, is that true? When a child is born, they put their finger in the child's fist, and they see if the child cares. It's a very important thing to see the mental state of a child, the reflex of a child. The child is born with his fist clenched. When a person dies, hands are open. And the Medrash says, what does that tell you? When a person comes to this world, they have an attitude. It's natural. It's healthy. I'm going to conquer the entire world. I'm going to have everything. And when a person leaves this world, his hands, what have I taken from this world? He never saw a U-Haul truck attached to a hearse. Never.
Except by Dasan Vaviram.
Dasan Vaviram? Oh, that's right. U-Haul truck piled with cash. Brinks. Armored vehicle attached, following behind the hearse in the procession to the cemetery. The guys are going to take with them all his money. You never saw that, right? Not even in the movies. Never happened.
The story of the lion, a tight-fisted guy died in the 1800s and he left Safar, they should bury all his money with him. And they went to the Rav. The Rav said, no problem, write a check.
Write a check, okay. Alright, so this is so according, so the Medrash says, prove it. That's what the Pasuk says, Mashemo, Mashem Beno. And you know, Kiseda, that it should be true. Prove to me that when it comes to this principle called Bechofnov, that if you open your fist, you'll be blessed. If you're going to close your fist, you're going to prove it. Kiseda, the answer is Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham was Isha Chesed, Vayiten Lo. What does it say about Avraham Avinu? It says, Vayitel Amasa Mikol. Okay, so it says that Avraham gave Malki Tzedek. Vayitel Lo, there's a whole question, who gave who? It's Machlokes, who gave to? Well, according to one interpretation, at least according to this Medrash, that Avraham Avinu, he gave, Vayitel Amasa Mikol, that Avraham conquered the entire world. He had in his possession everything. and they made him king of the world. And then Avram said, but Malki Tzedek, shame, Benoyach, you're the Kohen Gadol of the world. Therefore, I'm going to give you Maaser. Vayitin l'masa mikol. Avram was generous. Avram opened up his fist. We don't appreciate the depth of what was going on. Again, it's subject to interpretation of who exactly gave what to what. But according to this interpretation, Avram did give Maaser to Kohen. Avram showed here his generosity. And what was the bracha? The bracha was, Umashem b'no. Bracha comes the next generation. That Vayigdal hu ish ma'od ma'od. Vayimsa b'shana hi me'a sha'arim. Extreme wealth, 100 times more than he expected, which represents the ultimate bracha of Ashiris. Yitzhak had the ultimate Ashiris there ever was in this world. Me'a sha'arim. Me'a sha'arim 666. Me'a sha'arim. Vayitin l'masa mi'gzeh Yitzhak sh'nosan maser v'lechein esparach v'yizra. He also gave ma'aseh, but Yitzhak was old, giving the bracha of Avosha. So we have here a very beautiful medrash. The medrash takes a pasuk out of the middle of nowhere, middle of Mishlei, out of nowhere in the middle of Mishlei, and takes part in reference to the concept of giving tzedakah. Very nice drasha for an appeal to give tzedakah. If you open up your fist, then you're guaranteed that your prayer will ascend to the highest heaven and produce results. And the results will come in the form of causing the winds to blow and baracha coming to the world. But chas v'shalom, that same word, bichnafav, if the fist is closed, it can result in sorar mayim, in the waters of heaven being withheld, basimla, as if in a garment, and me, this individual, is hakim kol avsir, as he holds up. He holds up progress. Hakim means to hold, to stand. The world has to be in a state of motion, mobility. There has to be a healthy economy. Things are moving. But hakim kol avsir aretz. And to prove it, mashmo mashem benoki seda. Look at the ancients. Look at Avraham Avinu. Look at Yitzchak. Avraham was the one who taught the world isha chesed vayitin lamasa mikol. And look at the bracha he brought to the world. And look at his own children, the next generation. Yitzchak, who was zoicha, Avraham was also a very wealthy person, obviously. But Yitzchak, who achieved the next generation and shortly thereafter achieved extreme wealth, mea sha'arim. Okay, that's one medrash. Now let's come to another beautiful medrash, and this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've darshan so far in reference to Moshe. We've darshan this in reference to Eliyahu. We've darshan this in reference to the midst of giving tzedakah. There's one more medrash which caught my attention. There are probably many more medrashim, but these are the things which I can decipher at least to some small degree, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me read you a few of the words, and this is in fact this is not in by Rabbah, this is in a Tanchuma. The other famous medrash that both Rashi and the Mitzudos dwelt upon in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu was also in that same medrash. That same medrash which Eliyahu with Tztaka and Moshe Rabbeinu are all there in Bamidbar Rabbah, Perek Yud Beis, section Yud Aleph. Here we have a Tanchuma in Parshas Noso, which says, the Allah Shemayim Vayerad, who is the one who ascended to heaven and came down? Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar, Allah Elokim Bisrua, the Hashem Bekol Shoifar. Allah Kim Bisrua, the Elokim Velokim Bekol Shoifar. So Elokim Hashem ascended into heaven Bisrua, which what that means exactly, whatever that means exactly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory appeared through the blowing of the trumpets. The Trua, we use this pasuk, of course, on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and this refers specifically to Matan Torah, Har Sinai, there was the Kol Shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he gave the Torah, Hashem, he came down to give the Torah, and then after he finished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah went up to Shemayim, the Kol Sirua. What does it mean, Vayerad? That's Pashad Vayerad Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem came down upon this world to give the Torah. Hashem descended his Shekhinah upon Har Sinai to give Klal Yisrael the Torah. So that's two parts of the pasuk. So far we have Mi'ola, Olu Lukim Yisrua, Vayerad, Vayerad Hashem al Har Sinai. Next part of the pasuk, Mi'osaf Ruach B'chofnav. What does this refer to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created man. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Asher b'yigmar, we dash the pasuk in Iyev, Asher b'yodoy nefesh kol choy, v'ruach kol besar ish. So HaKadosh Baruch, when it says in the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Osaf, he gathers Ruach, wind, Bichofnov, so Be'apov. So it seems that the Gemara is darshing Be'apov. Somehow Chofnov, a fist, is phonetically related to Apov, the nostrils. Because you have the pay, the apov, the pay, apov, and the avov. Okay, there is some phonetic similarity.
It's what? Biyado and bichofnov.
Biyado, biyado, yeah, bichofnov.
Biyado, nefesh kochai. He's connecting it to the bichofnov in our fashion.
Okay, but what bichofnov means, a fist. Chofnov does not mean the nostrils. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. The hand, yeah, but we want to reference this to the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all of us true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Vayner HaSinai. And now we're mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives life. How does Hashem give life? He blows the spirit into a person's nostrils. The Osaf Ruach B'Chafnav Zek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher B'Yodo Nefesh Kol Chai Ruach Kol B'Sar Ish. Okay, fine. Ruach B'Sar Ish. Next, now we go to the next part of the pasuk. Mitzar mayim b'simla. This refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzorer mayim b'avav. First, the creation of the world. In the heavens, Hashem, there's water. Supposedly, I mean, we believe that we go all the way up, higher and higher, we're going to find water. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven. Bayavdi lukim in amayim Hashem mitachas lukim in amayim Hashem mi'al rukiyah. Which one first? But the creation involved the splitting of the waters. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created this world through a havdalah between the mayim elyonim and the mayim tachtonim. And that's what it refers to in the next part of the pasuk, mitzorar mayim basimla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in addition to creating man, he also created the world. And the way he created the world was by dividing the upper waters and the lower waters. The next part of the pasuk says, Mihekim kol afse aretz. Who is that? Mihekim afse aretz? Tchias ha-meisim. Who is the one who is yet to be mechayim meisim, to bring up all the people gathered all over the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afse aretz. Mashmo, what is his name? His name is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yudke, Vavke, Elokim, whatever you want to say, Akasil, Kotzavakos, whatever you want to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uma Hashem Bino. What's the name of Hashem's child? Klal Yisrael. Bini B'chori Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So another very beautiful medrash to review. Mi'ola Shemayim Ki Ola Elokim Bisrua Vayerad Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Mi Osaf Ruach Bichofnov, the creation of man. Hashem blew the spirit of Nishmas Chaim, Hashem Biyodu Nevesh Kol Chai, all of these various related psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the wind into man's nostrils. Mitzar Mayim Basimla, the creation of the world. Vayavil Lakim Mayim Elyonim Mayim Tachtonim, Hashem collected the waters. Mihekim Kol Afsi Aretz, who is the one that will in the future be Mechayim Esim. Mashemo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his name. Umashem Bino, what is his child? Klal Yisrael. Miki Seda, that you shall know this. V'yadata hayom Hashem elsa el levavecha. You shall know this, and don't forget, Hashem can do, does done, will do all of these things.
Rabbi, I never understood. Where is the Rishiyah? Where the upper?
We don't know. We don't know. We have not got there yet. They say the distance, it takes 500 years to travel to the first Rukiya, according to one of the Midrashim. So even all of the technology that we have,
like 3 miles before the moon.
They've only landed on the moon. They have not yet. I don't know. We don't know. There's no one that knows what this means. No one that I know. We have no idea what that. It's pasuk in the Torah. It's mamish a pasuk in Torah. Vayad elokim bein amayim asher mitach me'al rakia mitachas to rakia. So that means that when Hashem created the world, everything was water. And Hashem split the water. There's water above, water below. Mayim elyonim, mayim tachtonim. Nisach hamayim on Sukkis. The purpose of Nisach hamayim on Sukkis is to somehow to connect the mayim tachtonim to the mayim elyonim. What this means, I have not a clue. Not a clue what this means. Supposedly, if we would explore space, Star Trek has not got there yet. But if we would explore somehow, there's going to be Mayim Elyonim somewhere far, far away. I don't think scientists have found. Have they even found water on Mars?
They found ice.
Ice? They know for sure it's ice?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they assume.
Are there any living creatures on
Mars?
There's life. There's water, there's life. They want to extrapolate that if there is water, there's life. There's a pasuk, really there's a pasuk, Aror Meroz, in Shiras Devora. And according to some of the commentators, it means the Martians. There were Martians that Devora demanded they come fight. Devora demanded that they participate in the Muhammad against Sisera. These Martians called Meroz, they were extraterrestrial creatures from another planet. That's what it says in the Mefarshim. And she sent the message, you better come here and help us with Sisera. And they said, sorry, not our problem, we're not coming. And they were cursed. What happened to them? Who knows? Who knows what happened to them? This is one interpretation. Rabbi Dr. Lehm, he says that, they asked him, is there life on other planets? So he says, from Chazal, it doesn't seem so, it's not likely. But if we do discover life, we can deal with it. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch can deal with it. It fits in very well into Chazal. My father, Zichron Levrach, always used to say, it's not likely this life on other planets, because if there was, they would have found us by now. We're looking to find them. Who says we have to look to find them? They shall find us.
Maybe they want to avoid us.
What?
They want to avoid us.
We're so strange. We're so dangerous. When they see Meir, they'll all come very quickly. Meir will be the welcoming committee. All right, science fiction. Let's go further. Now, by the way, it says here, Mashma Mabashem, that Klal Yisrael is called a child. Klal Yisrael is called the Bechor. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. You only call the Bechor when there's another child. Who are the other children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Malachim. The Malachim are called B'nei Elohim. There are numerous psukim that call Malachim the B'nei Elohim, who are also called children. Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. But which one is the favorite son? Which one is the Bechor? Klal Yisrael is called B'ni B'chor Yisrael. There are two children, Hashem, as Malachim and Klal Yisrael, and we are the firstborn. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, hey, Kol Imras Eloka. You have to really say, if you say it with Hashem's name, you can't really say it without saying Hashem's name, because the hey is always an ah. It's always an aleph sound or an ayin sound with a mapik hey at the end. Okay, right over here, it's on the lamed. That's right, but there's a mapik hey. Elo, it's aleph hey, aleph mapik hey. Ah, no ach. There's an aleph and a ches. Ach. When there's a hey, it's the same thing with ah mapik hey. Tzeruf is purified. Mogen hu lachay simbo. The words of Hashem is a very, very, very beautiful pasuk, which has numerous other parallels else in Tanakh. That Torah is a shield. A person that truly attaches himself to Torah for real, okay, not just superficially. Torah is a mogen; it protects. The words of Hashem are purified. They're pure. They are refined. They have been refined. Chazal say 49 times, whatever that whatever that means. That the ultimate degree of refinement. There's no letter in the Torah that is not. This is a very important principle, which people who are not yet from and non-Jews have a very hard time dealing. But it's something that's so basic and so fundamental to any child, is that there's not a missing letter in the Torah. There's not a missing. Everything in the Torah is soidei sataris with ultimate perfection. It's tsurufa. That's what it means. And mogen who a person attach himself, the Torah will be making, will protect him from any harm. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk hey, called imras eloka at now roya ani asher called imras. Now this, according to the mitzvah, we are continuing in the words of Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech over here is expressing his remorse. How could I have been so foolish not to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu? I thought that the words of Moshe are not precise. When Moshe said, told the king, don't take for yourself more than 18 wives, Moshe Moshe was not talking to me, he was talking to other people. Me, I'm above the law. Moshe was not precise. Now I realize how foolish I was. Moshe was extremely precise. He was talking specifically to me. That was put down in the Torah through Moshe. It is refined to the ultimate degree without any minor imperfection. Umichshol and stumbling, for ulamogain, and it's a shield. Ulamichse, it's a refuge. Lahatzil min michshol, to save a person from michshol hatoos, from making terrible mistakes. Esachosimbo, to those people that have faith, that take refuge in the Torah. V'loyachosim michochmosim, and people who do not take refuge in their own wisdom, people that are not foolish to think that they know better than the Torah, come only like me. Ki im loychasisi b'mishan chachmasi, Shlomo regrets his mistake. If I did not have confidence in my faith, in my knowledge, loymar, to say arba, I'll have more wives than are allowed, v'loy osur, and they will not sway my heart, lo hayisi nichshol ba'aver, I would not have been nichshol in allowing my wives to build temples, churches, whatever you want to call these things, to avodah zara. Even though it appears that something you have a doubt in lishon b'chokhma v'losu mimena. Okay, what it means is a person may think that he's able to rely upon his own wisdom. He has inklings to think that he knows more. It's a foolish thing to do. You should not depart from the words of the Torah. The words of the Torah are purified. Okay, Rashi says, "Kol imar salukat serufa mizukoka." It is perfect, refined. V'loy kosav davar sheloy litzorech v'hi v'hoya li lihizor. I should have been more careful. Again, this pasuk is an extremely important pasuk because where do you know this from? People have a tradition. Every word of the Torah is precise, and that's why people make, you know, we know the codes. You know about the Bible codes became a very controversial topic. And people say you can take Shakespeare, you can also find the same type of codes, same type of mathematical whatever these codes. I remember doctor, one of the people who biggest critics of this was a very, very great mathematician who lived in the neighborhood, Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis. He was a very big critic of the Bible codes. When I first heard the Bible codes many, many years ago, I was blown away. It was like, and they started using this in the seminars, age seminars, and then there was a lot of backlash. When I was told is that people were not happy that you don't teach Judaism, hocus pocus, it's not a mahalach. So they step back from it, and then they did a survey many, many years later. I read this, I don't know if it's true or not. They did a survey and they asked a lot of people who did become from through these various seminars of Aish and I don't know, they're all different, and the way they did present the codes, and but most of them basically said we didn't become from because of the codes. It was very nice, it was very impressive, it was very inspiring, but the bottom line is that's not why we became religious. We became religious because we have emuna. And so it's like icing on the cake, but it is an interesting, a controversial thing, and all that is pretty. If you want to ask, what's the pasuk? Prove it to me. What's the pasuk in the Torah that tells you why does it? Who says it's? Who says that every single word in the Torah is precise? Why can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to human beings? Just so human beings are not perfect. They're not perfect, so there's some verbosity, there's some repetition. Who says it has to be perfect? A human being is not perfect. No human being lives forever. So the body's not perfect, the body gives out, so maybe Hashem gave a Torah that also has a little few extra words. This is, I think, a reasonable argument you can make. The rejection to that is, well, first of all, it's Mesorah, tradition, but it's based on, better than Mesorah, you have a pasuk, in Mishlei. The words in the Mesorah, ki imras elokat serufa, are the ultimate perfection. There's not a missing tag in the Torah. Dibra Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. That all has to be built in. It has to be built in. Dibra Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam, but all within the framework of Kol Imras Elokat Tzerufa. If not for this pasuk, if not for this Yisara, that's what you would say. Dibra Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. There are imperfections. A human being is not perfect. It's stylistic purposes. But it has to be based upon this background, the framework of Tzurufa. Very powerful stuff.
A few times I noticed, I mean, obviously, that he quotes a pasuk that he just changes like half a word or a whole word from a pasuk in the Vein or things like that. Like this pasuk over here, it's Yisroel.
Yeah.
In Ras Elokim, it's in the Chumash, in the Shmuel, it's in Ras Elokim Tzurufa. So he basically just repeating a pasuk from Navi.
Okay.
I mean, is he doing that on purpose, that he's changing the word? I mean, is there any commentary on that?
I don't know. I didn't see anything. Yeah, I didn't see. There are a lot of similarities. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay, there's another interesting thing which caught my attention. Medrash and Tehillim. So finding the conventional says a contradiction. Contradiction is the way, at least according to the interpretation of the Medrash, Tzurufa has the connotation of putting metal in a kiln to purify it, which has the connotation or the flavor of Yisurim. Anytime we deal with fire, we're dealing with things that are unpleasant. But yet Torah is Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. So the Medrash in Medrash Lom Perek Kuf Yates posed this contradiction. Contradiction. Mitzad Echad in Talmud it says Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Hashem's Mishpatim Ar Yashar Mesamchei Lev. And here it says Kol Imras Eloka Tzurufa, which has the connotation that when you learn Torah, no pain, no gain. It's going to bring Yisurim. The closer you get to Torah, the more you're going to suffer. The purification of the Torah is going to cause harm to you. So how do you answer the contradiction? So the Medrash basically says, it all depends on your attitude. All depends on your attitude of how you relate to Torah. And Zohar, let me see what it says over here. It says over Amar Bilevi, Bichad Mikra Kura Nafik, Zocha tzarafto l'chaim, loy zocha tzarafto l'misa. Okay, basically says, okay, I don't know, it's subject to interpretation what that means. I don't know the answer, the kash better than the answer, but it all depends on how you are, your attitude. If your attitude towards Torah is, you humble yourself to Torah, then it's going to ultimately bring you simcha. But if it's going to be a struggle, someone wants to say to me the following statement. He says, how do you look at Judaism? Do you look at Judaism as you have tayag mitzvos? Hashem gave you 613 mitzvos, or Hashem told you live your life, but you got 613 problems, or 613 issues
situations
that you gotta work around. You gotta work around. I gotta live my life. My first goal is to have a good time in this world, but I'm Jewish, so Hashem said, listen, I want to just warn you, there are obstacles in this world. So when you go through life, you drive in this obstacle course down the road, watch out for 613 things. There's non-kosher food, and there's arayos, and there's this, and there's that. So just give a good life, but here's the roadmap. There are 613 obstacles to avoid. Is that the pshat? Or in life, it's like a treasure hunt. There are 613 opportunities along the way in life. It's a whole different way of looking at the Torah, a whole different attitude of what kind of Torah you have. So that's, to some degree, I think what the Medrash is trying to say over here. If you want to go look at Torah, I'm going to live my life. Listen, I realize, I look at the world, I see the world is crumbling, everyone is in a lot of trouble. Obviously, being a Torah Jew, there's something to it. There's something to being a Torah Jew. It helps you out. So I'll be observant. But I'm not only being observant because it must be good. That's tzurufa. You live a life like that, you're going to suffer a lot. But if you live a life where Torah is an opportunity, Torah is something which is good for the neshama, then it's Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchele. A whole different approach to the Torah. Okay, there's another famous chazal. This chazal is in Vayikra Rabbah, and it basically, the idea is that the mitzvos that were given to person, the classic example is animal cruelty. This is one example of a million examples. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to slaughter animals to do Maisa Shechita? Why did Hashem allow us to do Nechira? to chop off the head, or to do the way they do it today by the goyim, is they have electronic, they stun it electronically in the brain. They kill the animal. I think Purdue, right? That's what they do. They
freeze the blood to keep the meat tender.
They keep the bend, but they do all these other techniques, and they claim so many studies have been done. This is documented. Is shchita is the most painless form of, most humane form of shchita, despite what all these animal rights activists have to tell you. They don't know what they're talking about. It's been documented with many studies. The mind, animal, it's the most humane form of slaughter, of taking the life of the animal, is from Maisa Shchita. Now, after we accept that as a fact, okay, let's put that aside. So a person will say, oh, look at the Torah. The Torah is in favor of animals. The Torah wants, has compassion upon animals. So the pasuk here says that's a mistake. The Torah does have compassion on animals, but that's not why the Torah. The Torah was telling us not that we should not be cruel to animals. Call Imras Elokat Serufa. Don't say the reason why the Torah is said to do this mitzvah is because the Torah had rachmanis on the creature. The purpose of the Torah was given to man. And the Torah is presenting men, you a human being, you should have rachmanis on an animal. Therefore, the way I'm going to tell you how to do a Maisa Shchita is in a way that is humane to the animal. That is the gist of that. I'll read you some of the words of the Medrash. V'zois ha-behema asher techeilu hadohu d'chsef. Upon this pasuk, Hadohu d'chsev called Imras Elokat Serufa. So the pasuk simply means, I'm going to go over the interpretation. Mitzyachas apasuk al Imras Hashem shibiruda v'nikiyo v'kayama v'kliyo shum v'chinoi. Ulam d'roish apasuk gam al teres Hashem. Okay, let me read a little further. Shenemorim heim v'orchasim l'halochim v'chem chasher rav amar. Here it is. Lo'y nitnu ha-mitzvahs li-Yisrael. It was only given to Yisrael Litzareif in order to purify man. What do we mean? We mean, L'chein Chazar Chsivit says, V'zois ha-behema, L'hashmiya she-tziva Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo l'tame yetz nafsham b'machol behema t'meya. Okay, I'm reading the wrong medrash, but this is another medrash. I saw this in the art school, saw this in a lot of places. The purpose of the mitzvah is given to man. It's given to man that man should recognize that he should not be a cruel person. A person should not say the Torah was given to the animals. The Torah was given in order to be good to the nature. It also happens to be true, but that's not the focus of the Torah. Okay, we mentioned the word amogain. We all know that famous. That story always just reverberates in my mind with Rav Moshe Feinstein. That the story of Rav Moshe Feinstein, everyone knows the story, just repeat it to put it in the context of this pasuk, where there was an incident where outside of Moshe Feinstein's window, a child was Rachman Litzlan, was killed. And a person came running to Rav Moshe and said, a Jewish child was just run over by a car. Rav Moshe said, how do you know this? Is in the art school book. They have it over here, Rav Moshe book. How do you know this? He says, there was a yarmulke. I saw yarmulke on the scene. I saw in the gutter, right near the boy, I saw right near, there was a yarmulke. So Rav Moshe said to him, it is impossible, putting all humility aside, it is impossible. I sit, I learn here, Torah Lishma. And it cannot be that within my Dalet Amos, a tragedy like this could occur. Can't be that a makom where I learn Torah, in that makom, such as in the time that I'm learning that, such a tragedy, Torah is megan. It's a very frightening thing. Rav Moshe said this, and putting all humility aside, he says such a thing. Torah is megan, and that really, really shocks, really, you know, when something happens, you have a tragedy, and even if it's far, even if it's, if you know about it, it affects you, it bothers you, it shakes you up. Like, how could this be? How could it be that something like this happened? Obviously, there's something wrong with me as well. In the last week, two things happened to people I know, and it's like, I don't know what to think. Two separate things happened. Something happened yesterday, and something happened last week. It's like, people that you're close with, and like, it shakes you up. If you're really holding where you should be holding, so that's what Chazal say. So obviously, I got problems. Obviously, whatever this means, but it's this is what the pasuk says. Mogein hu lachoisim bo. There's something to it. Pasuk vav. Now,
European yeshivas used to try and have some somebody learn 24 hours a day? I wonder if it's the same kind of...
To be megan. That. But even the Gemara says that a mitzvah is megan b'shaitai. Only when you're doing the mitzvah, then the mitzvah protects. But Torah is megan afilu shalei b'shaitai. There's an after effect. When you learn Torah, the impression of learning Torah lingers for a period of time, and it's megan.
It's interesting, the model. Remember I said the pasuk is missing the word kol from Shmuel.
Yeah.
In the Divrei HaMaskil in the Malbim, he puts in the word kol.
We're here?
Yeah, if you look in the Malbim.
I don't have the Malbim in front of me.
Yeah,
wow.
He says, Mogenu l'chol.
Chops, wow.
So it's like he, whatever it is, either he just did it out of memory.
40 and slip.
It said l'chol.
A 40 and slip.
Yeah, I understand.
Many possibilities.
Well, I think more than that, it says Vashem.
No, it says Vashem hu mogen l'chol.
Vashem hu, yes, I have the word that.
Yeah, but then he says l'chol. No, but that's the Divrei HaMaskil. He quotes.
The whole Divrei HaMaskil, Vashem hu mogen l'chol.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says pasuk vav al to. Now this is a very hard word to read. I think the way you read it is al to sip. Right, the soft. Right, there are two shvas. I have two shvas. Now in this printing, there's also a dot in the pay. Right, you have a dot. It has to be a dot in the pay. In the last pay.
My printing, there's no dot.
There's no dot. Okay, I don't have a dot in this one either. But another printing that our article has a dot. I don't know. After you have a shva, there has to be a dot. According to the rule of Rabbi Kavan. So alto, the sof is a shva no, because it comes after a cholam. So it's alto se pe. Very funny way of saying toisef.
No, after a shva no, it shouldn't be a dot.
After
a shva no is a dot.
Alto
se.
Al-to-se-puh.
It's not a...
Two shvas next to each other. The second one's also a shvah no.
The first is...
But you can't have a shvah no after a shvah no. If you have two shvas next to each other, the second one also has to be a shvah no.
You
have two shvas next to each other, and the first shva has to be a shva no. So the second one also has to be a shva no. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Whatever it is, whatever. It's a hard word to read. Al tose puh. Basically means don't add. Do not add to al develop. Do not add to the words of Torah. That we're describing this continuation of the previous theme of Pasuk Hey. Called imas alakat serufa maginu lachasimba. The Torah is perfect. Don't add and do not detract. Don't add letters. Don't detract. Al tose puh. Al devarav. Yal yochiach. Why? What's the danger? Pen yochiach. Because you will be proven wrong. It will be proven to you that you have made a mistake. You will be shown to be a liar. If you add to the words of Torah, then you will be proven that what you have added is wrong. You will turn liar. So who is the obvious marshal to this pasuk referring to? To Nachash. To Nachash HaKadmoni with Chava. Chava. Nachash said to Chava that eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why aren't you eating from the Eitz Hadas? So Chava, because Hashem said that we're not allowed to eat it and we're not allowed to touch it. That was a lie. Hashem never said that you're not allowed to touch. Hashem said just do not eat. So therefore the Nachash, now I got you. Now I got a Pesach. He pushed Chava, the Nachash pushed Chava on the tree and nothing happened to her. And he said to her, look, just like nothing happened to you when you touched it, nothing will happen to you when you eat it. So why didn't Chava realize that it's not true? Because Chava convinced herself. She made that mistake. Once she already she made a siyog, she went and she said to her, Hashem said, do not eat, do not touch. So she believed it to be equivalent to what Hashem said, and just then the Nachash was right. Nothing happened by touching, nothing will happen to her by eating. So what? But the Chazal is the question, but we do have an idea that we have a rule that you have to make asay siyog the Torah. He's supposed to erect safeguards for Torah, and the whole Chazal, kedoshim to you, you have to make gedarim. The answer is, yeah, you make gedarim, but the gedarim, you have to know, are not on the same level as the Iker. You have to always know the priority. The Iker and the Tofel. There is a Daraisa and there is a Darabanan. There are Takonois, there are Gzerois, there are Minhagim, and there are Maisim Tovim, good. There are many different Madregos, and your person always has to keep these things in the proper perspective, because once you start saying the Tofel is the Iker, then obviously you get into a lot of, like we say, like someone told me a few times, is that if Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid would have said the Sigzol, then people would have been nizor in Sigzol. Problem is, it's only the Aseres HaDibrois. So then we would have been Machbe, And he says, you're now going to marry all these things about closing up a window and putting a tube in and all these things. These Kabbalistic and Yadim, all of a sudden now we're very Machbanan. But on the Ikarim, we're not Machbanan. This is a distortion of priorities, and that's what's over here is Al Tos. That was the mistake that Chava made. Let's see over here the Mitzvot and Rashi, Pasuk Vav, and Mitzvot. Al Tos Sipah. Since our control squids are purified from any dross or any stumbling, tos, therefore, what is the message? Al toisef ma alehem, do not add to them. Pen kishivar midvarcha, when your words have been clarified, when your words are exposed, yimot say nichzav, you'll be discovered to be a liar, umute and mistaken. The echim came tichbar, how then will you be able to attach to chubar le imras? Elokar Hatsufa, how then will you be able to attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pure, refined words when you yourself are a liar? The Torah does not tolerate lies. Rashi Pasuk Vav Pen Yochiach Becha. Yochiach Al Panecha. You will be proven to your face. You will be put to shame. Sha'ali Dei Tose Poscha, through your additions. Through your additions, your faults, atabali de avera, you'll come the avera, vehicle shlein integra, certainly if you will diminish. Person that's an extremist, so single of you are a very fundamental person that's an extremist, they come lide avera. I always remember that story, someone told me about a Neri Yisrael, there was a Talmud, there was a person that delivered an estate, someone in the community died, and they delivered to the yeshiva his library as a donation to the yeshiva, and they put all the boxes outside the yeshiva, wherever it was, before the librarian can go through all of the books to determine which ones they're going to keep in the yeshiva and which ones they're going to send away. And there was a bachar. There was a very good bachar in the yeshiva, and he wanted to see what they got. So he went through the books and he saw there were a couple of books there that were a little questionable. Balabas thought he left over there. Might have been a chashash of apikursis. So he took the books, and on the front lawn of the yeshiva, he burnt the books. He burned the books, made a fire on the front lawn of the yeshiva. So they told this to Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman quietly told one of the Talmidim, one of his associates, a bacha that does this will one day, he's a bacha, he's so frum, he's such a frum bacha, it's a minus, he has to burn it. Someone that does this will one day become a conservative rabbi. Will become that Bikaris, whatever he said. And Kachava. It wasn't until much later that he turned into a conservative rabbi, went off the derech. Why? An extremist. Someone that's an extremist is unstable. When you start doing extreme things, then you come to be Megadeh, you come to take away. Okay, so we have here, now, I saw a very interesting idea in the article. The article says, what does it mean, Pen Yochiach Becha? It'll be proven in you. How many Chazal tell us we have Tayag Mitzvahs? Tayag Mitzvahs divided into 248 assays and 365 lois assays. There are more lois assays than there are assays. That is always a very important point. There's more things not to do in the Torah than there are things to do in the Torah. 365, 248, corresponding to how many bones are there? How many evarim? Shesa gidav remach evarav shesa. Gidav, 365 sinews, Remach, 248, Evarav. This is what we say when you make a Mishrech for a Chayla. So Chazal tell us, we don't know exactly what this means, that a man, a woman is a little more problematic, but a man, a male, has 365 limbs and 248 sinews, corresponding to the Tayag Mitzos, Aseis, and the Leis Aseis. If you're going to say, Rabbi Sai, I have the 614th Mitzvah, the 640th mitzvah is to do such and such. This is what you got to do on Shabbos. You must eat pshah. This is what it says in the Torah. Right? So, if that's what it says in the Torah, so, show it to me on your body. That means there has to be an additional limb in your body that corresponds to the additional mitzvah that you've created. Well, look at Shabbos, I've gained 5 pounds. So, it goes to show. You have to show it. But when they'll analyze them under a microscope, they're not going to find any additional limb. They're not going to find any additional sinew. So the proof comes from your very own body. Everyone knows, you learn this in first grade, you count all the limbs on your body, all the sinews, 365, 248. If you're going to make up more mitzvos, what are you adding? What, you have 3 feet? 3 hands? You have 11 fingers? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 plus 5 is 11. You have an additional finger. Kinega, the additional mitzvah. So this is pen yoichiach b'cha v'nechzav. You'll be proven from yourself that you are a liar. Okay, let's just start this pasuk. Pasuk Zayin begins a whole new theme, a whole new section. Pasuk Shtayim Shalti Mi'itach Al Timna Mimeni B'Terem Amos. I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two things. There are two things that I desperately need, and I ask of you, Hashem, do not deny me these two things for until I die. According to the simple interpretation, not like Rashi and the Mitzvot, who made the statement? A human being. The human being is Agur Ben Yokeh. This was his contribution. These two things, what he felt was critical, according to Rashi, and this referring to Shlomo. The father, so obviously, it's a very the Chacham Mikolodim is asking for two things. It's very serious. The problem is a lot more than two things here. There's more like 10 things here. So how do we actually calculate the two things? That we'll see a little bit soon. Let's first see the Mitzudos Pasuk Zayin. The Mitzudos Shtayim Atu Yidav Emul Hamokam Baruch Hu. Now he's speaking up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'yom Hashnei Devamanim Shel Mucha V'al Timnei Mimeni B'Terem Amos. Or Tzlema Koy Mechayai Lo Yu Menuim Mimeni. Do not deny to these two things from me. Rashi Pasuk Zayin Shtayim Shalti Mei Itoch Achshav Medaber Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This request to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we'll leave Mir Tashem this for tomorrow.